We're going to turn our thoughts to Philippians again, and I want to look at verses 12 through 19 briefly this evening, and I will read beginning with verse 12. Philippians 1, verse 12, beginning. Now I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation or deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul is addressing brethren, and he's wanting the brethren to understand some things, and basically speaking, what I think that we need to get out of this portion of Scripture is this. Regardless of how the gospel or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are preached, whether in contention or in opposition or in debate, it's going to further the message of the kingdom message, regardless. And Paul says, I'm going to rejoice in the fact, regardless of who preaches it. And that's basically what he is saying in this passage of Scripture. In verse 12, he says, I want you to understand, in the present tense, brethren, that things which happened concerning me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And this, of course, is Paul's gospel. And in verse 14 that we read, this gospel is the Word of God. And we have studied the Word of God and know it to be the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So when Paul speaks about the gospel, he is talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. When he is talking about the common salvation, he is saying that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. That's the salvation message to those who are not in the family. But the gospel of Paul is a message to those that are in the family, and primarily to those in the family that have ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, Paul's gospel, and by the way, things that have happened to Paul were by no accident. I mean, he was in prison in Rome by the will of God, and he accepted it, and even though it hindered his movement, people in the palace, which is referred to in this passage, is really in the prison. He was being a blessing in the prison. But anyway, the things that have happened to me are furthering the message of the gospel that I preach. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, it's Paul's gospel that calls us to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ requires a worthy walk. We have to walk worthy of God who hath called us unto His kingdom and glory. It's not going to be just dumped in our laps. It has to do with a worthy walk. If you're not walking worthy of the Lord, that is, being obedient and maintaining a hope of life for the coming age, living by faith, when I think about living by faith, I think about living in hope of glory. Because faith bolsters things that we're hoping for that we can't see. I was thinking about the incident where some friends had a sick, some fellows had a sick friend, and they were trying to get this sick friend in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they couldn't get in because the place was too crowded. They didn't have speakers in the streets, but people were in the windows. They were outside. They couldn't get in. So they had to climb up on the roof and break open the roof and let the man down into the presence of the Lord. And it says, when the Lord saw their faith, not the man's faith that was sick, it was their faith. When the Lord saw their hope on behalf of their friend, the Lord responded to that hope of healing him, and the man was healed. So when I think about faith, I think about hope. And when the Lord saw their hope of the Lord healing their friend, the Lord did what they hoped He'd do, and He healed him. Now, we're called by Paul's gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is based upon a worthy walk. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. And we need to keep in mind, before the calling can come, you've got to have ears that can hear. Dead men don't have ears. They have ears, but they can't hear a thing. The dead can't hear thunder. And so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who says, He saved us and called us with an holy calling. When He saved us, He gave us ears that gave us life, and possibly ears that we can hear. And when He saved us, He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. And when I think about not according to our works, He didn't call us because He could see that we could do a few tricks or that we could do some extra things. He just called us because He wanted to. And according to His own purpose and grace. Now, in verse 13 of Philippians 1, this is where it talks about Him being in bonds, in the palace, or in the judgment hall. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And the word bonds here is he was bound because of his ministry and for the cause of Christ and because of where he was. Christ was manifested to all those that were in the palace. You know, you can't be handcuffed to a guard very long that you don't strike up a conversation. Paul knew Greek and Hebrew, and he could speak to the guards. And so Christ was manifest in the judgment hall where he was held in prison. And not only that, but it spread. The guard would hear it, he would be saved, and then he would share the blessings that he received by being with Paul. Now, it doesn't say that they lined up trying to get on guard duty for Paul because of all the blessings that are there. But you know that Paul had an opportunity to share with him things that were dear to him. Now, when we talk about preaching the gospel, sometimes we are warned about sharing too much with individuals. And we are to be careful about casting our pearls before swine. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, This has to do with crowds. It's not individuals, but crowds. And that's the reason why I put it in here, because Paul was preaching the gospel in the judgment hall, and then this preaching was going on because he was in prison. But in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel," and that is Paul's gospel. And that was his lifestyle in verse 19 of chapter 9. "Though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." So preaching to crowds is one thing. Trying to share with individuals is another thing. But one of the things that I was thinking about here was that just recently we've been drawn to see a video put out by Turner Turner Broadcasting, but I don't think it's Turner Broadcasting. It's Trinity. No, it's not Trinity. It's Turner. Turner. On Joseph. And one of the things that was said in that video, that tape, was by Potiphar. Potiphar knew that, I believe that Potiphar knew his wife was a cheat. And she was upset that he didn't kill him or have him killed. He just had him put in prison. And of course, she was angry with him. He says, "You might as well have turned him free." And what Potiphar said in that movie script was really significant. He says, "It doesn't make any difference where Joseph is. He is free with his God." And that is so true. Joseph was free, even though he may have been, he went to prison and forgotten about and so forth. But wherever Joseph was, he was a free man because of his God. And that was a good testimony in that film. Now, I don't have any proof that Potiphar said that. But anyway, the point is this. Regardless of where we are, we can have freedom and liberty to know that God is in charge, and that He will bless us and encourage us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Now, in verse 14 of Philippians 1, he says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, or by my bonds, are more bold to speak the word without fear." And it says here, many, a greater number of the brethren in the Lord, are waxing confident. I think that because they could see that Paul was in prison, that the ministry wasn't being moved all over Asia. Paul was stuck in Rome. And so therefore it was their responsibility and their accountability to the Lord to minister the gospel that Paul preached to them where they were planted. And they were confident because of where they knew Paul couldn't move and couldn't get away. And were much more bold to speak, present tense, both of them, to speak and boldness are both in the present tense, both infinitives, to be bold and to speak. The Word. Now the King James just says the Word, but there is commentary in Nestle's. It's the Word of God. In fact, it's even in the NASB. New American Standard Bible, the Word of God. They were preaching the mysteries of the kingdom. They were preaching about ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. And they weren't preaching that to lost people or people who have not been born into the family. They were speaking that to people that were in the family so that those who had ears to hear could respond. Now, I just put in the message for us this evening, a little review of what the Word of God really is. And in Luke 8:10 and 11, Jesus was teaching are speaking the parable of the sower. And his disciples came to him and wanted to know what the parable was about and why did he speak in parables. And he said unto them, or said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. This is the reason why I think of the mysteries of the kingdom has nothing to do with getting saved. Why would Jesus Christ come to die on the cross and then speak riddles so only a few can get born from above? That doesn't even make sense. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven and his family, the Lord can do whatever he wants with his family. He can promote one over another. I just think about Joseph. Joseph was last. But you know what? He became first. He became first. He had a dream. And that God gave him. Anyway, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and what the sower was sowing was seed. And he says here, now the parable is this. The seed that the sower was sowing is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, people like to want to stay with the King James, and they think this word born again is the same word as in John 3:3. But it's not. It's begotten again. This word is only used one other time in the New Testament. And it's used in 1 Peter 1:3. The passage, let me just say this, the passage in John 3:3, except a man be born from above, the word again should be translated above, you cannot see the kingdom. Now, in 1 Peter 1:3, where this word in verse 23 of 1 Peter is used, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To be born from above is based upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. To be begotten again by the Word of God has to do with His resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. So this begotten again is based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's for an inheritance. In verse 4. And this hope is a living hope. And that living hope is a living hope of glory. In Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is, what is that mystery? It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the Word of God, revealed to Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And of course, the word preaching is in the present tense. Envy has to do with trying to create fret and difficulties for Paul, of Paul's position. Strife is contentiously, not honestly. There are some people that talk about outer darkness being a suburb of heaven. They're just doing that in tongue in cheek. But you know what? Paul says that's okay. That's what Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. That's okay. Because, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here, because I want you to know, regardless of how it's presented, negatively or positively, Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't care whether this preacher is using this two-edged sword to clean his fingernails. You know what? The message is going to be out there because that two-edged sword is powerful. The message of the gospel of Christ is powerful, regardless of who's saying what about it. Now let's go back again. So they're preaching to create strife. They're contentious. They're not honest. But there are some that are doing it out of goodwill, desire, delight, and satisfaction of being able to preach this message. Then in verses 16 and 17 of Philippians 1, it says, one preached Christ of contention, that is, to create factions and divisions, not sincerely supposing or one thinking to add affliction to his bonds. They thought by preaching this and making light of it would cause Paul to suffer more. But he says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. In other words, there are some that were preaching it right, knowing that that's what he would desire, and that he was set, regardless of what the situation might present, to defend people that would preach his message contentiously. There were people that were perverting the gospel of Christ. Galatians is just filled with it. Paul says in Galatians 1:6, I am marveled that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ has to do with the Word of God. It has to do with the kingdom. And by the way, this other gospel was a gospel, and it was a glorious gospel. You know what that gospel was? The law, the ceremonial law. And you find that in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3, I believe it is. He calls it a glorious gospel, but the gospel of Christ is a more glorious gospel. It's the unspeakable gospel. You can't even speak it of what the blessings will be. There were those in Galatia that would pervert the gospel of Christ and try to make the people that responded to the gospel of the kingdom to keep certain ceremonial laws. Circumcision, the ceremonial laws that the Jews practiced, they wanted him to do it. In fact, what they were doing in Galatians 6, 12 and 13, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Those who preach against Paul and were in conflict with Paul were not trying to do anybody any good. All they were doing was trying to build up themselves and make themselves look good and to keep their friends. They did not want their friends to turn on. They wanted to make a fair show in the flesh, lest they should be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the ceremonial law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, being justified by faith, Galatians 3:11, it says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You want to stand approved in His presence? Please Him. Please Him by hope of things not seen. And without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now, in verse 18 of Philippians 1, it says, what then? Paul says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. Doesn't make any difference to me how the message is presented. He knew that the Word of God was powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You hear that message, you're going to start thinking things. You're going to start asking questions. And you're going to see through these that would put down that message, because the Word of God stands powerfully. And it is quick and sharp. Now, verse 19, Paul says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." The word, in other words, all of this I know shall turn to my salvation or deliverance or health or safety. That word salvation is translated that way. Through your prayers. Paul was confident that whether he got out of prison or not, he was going to be healthy and he will be safe. He will be free, whether he's in prison or not. Some people don't think he got out of prison. Some think he got out of prison for a while, went to Spain and so forth. But he was dependent upon their prayers. We need to be praying for each other. And Paul was assured of their prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now this is not, I'm persuaded this is not a reference to the Holy Spirit. This has to do with the Spirit of Christ to submit to whatever the Father had for him. Paul was willing to submit to whatever the Lord had for him. Galatians 4:6 says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." And when we cry, Abba, Father, our attitude should be, not my will, but thine be done. And that was the way Paul lived in prison. Did it make any difference what was going on outside the prison? He was going to be content with what's going on, whether he could get loose or not. And he was thankful that they would be praying for him, and they did. Well, may the Lord help us to be encouraged, whether our ministry is accepted or not, and whether people might speak against what we say as far as the gospel of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are concerned. Because we know this, that message is strong and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And by the way, it's not our sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that uses that sword. We just are allowed to pull it out of the scabbard. I guess that's one way to put it. Father, we just pray that you'd help us to be faithful in our walk with you. Be faithful, Lord, in serving you. And Lord, help us to accept our circumstances in life, regardless of what they may be. Whether we are waiting by a brook, dependent upon you to feed us in the morning and in the evening, and having no contact with man, or having to depend upon a widow who is broke to provide us with food and a place to stay. Lord, we just thank you that we can serve you and we can be a blessing wherever we are. So, Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you. We know you're faithful to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.